Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football season-long podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a fantasy football contributor here at Pro Football Weekly. Find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host. First, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW fantasy football contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how are we doing in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football Experts League?
We are the lone 4-1 team, leading everyone out of 14 teams. I am a fantasy guru.
Woo! All right. That's good news. Way to go, Kyle. And our other co-host, you can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. You can find his fantasy football rankings at profootballweekly.com. Arthur Arkish, how's it going, man?
Yeah, if listeners could see the results of my four fantasy leagues, they'd see a bunch of hot garbage. So I'm glad at least some hosts on this podcast are faring better. Congratulations, Kyle and John.
All right, let's go through it game by game. We're going to give you our favorite plays, maybe a hot take or two, and end with some bold calls. Guys, we're going to start with Cleveland at Houston. This one opened up at a 44.5 over-under with Houston favored by 9. It is now a 47 over-under with Houston favored by about 10 or 11, depending on which site you're looking at. So, Kyle, Deshaun Watson has been a revelation, and I feel like he's got another chance to be QB1 this week. How about you?
Absolutely. I like we were just saying there about me being on a good run in our Blog Talk Radio League. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I went out and scooped up Deshaun Watson early in the season. And I also was fortunate enough to go out and get Will Fuller, who you guys know I have a giant man crush on. I think this is another week where the Houston offense continues to roll. I think you can fire up Watson and feel very good about it. I think you can put Will Fuller in there. And I think this is a week that Lamar Miller might finally bounce back. Even though I'm not a huge fan of him, the game script says he's going to get some work in the second half at least.
Arthur, I got a QB question for you here. Let's say you were fortunate enough to, like Kyle, go out and pick up Deshaun Watson. But let's say you also have Tom Brady. Who are mm-hmm. you starting this week?
Oh, wow. I would start Deshaun Watson, believe it or not. He's at home. He's got the Browns, which is the fourth most giving defense against fantasy quarterbacks. And Tom Brady's dealing with a little bit of a sore left shoulder after taking that beating and actually missed the practice coming off the mini bye after taking that pounding in the win against the Buccaneers. So, yeah, this is where we are, I guess, guys, in week 6 of the NFL season. It's Deshaun Watson, not the GOAT that belongs in lineups if you're lucky enough to have that problem. Am I crazy, John? I'm assuming you would agree with me on that.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that's incredible at this point.
Yeah, it's been a wild season. We're just starting to figure out some things, but yeah, it's definitely crazy. I guess let me just ask you quickly. I would think that the line would maybe go down if the Browns were, I mean, Kevin Hogan clearly gives them a better chance to win than Deshone Kizer. So how do we explain how Vegas is kind of swaying things with Hogan likely to get the start?
A lot of sharp money coming in on Houston.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
I think there's going to be. I think 47 points as the over-under is still too low in this game. I think the Cleveland offense is going to perform well. I expect them to trail for most of the game, but I expect them to keep it within that 10-point margin. I think this game clears 50 points.
Kyle, who do you like on the Cleveland offense then if they're going to perform well in your estimation?
I think if you're really looking for a streamer at quarterback, I think Kevin Hogan is a good choice. And Duke Johnson, this is a perfect game script for him. He's getting a ton of targets. He's found the end zone the last few weeks. I think that's going to continue. And outside of that, I don't really like a lot else out of that. I think that they're going to score just because of I think they're going to score a lot of points from behind, but I'm not sure where it's coming from exactly outside of Duke Johnson and Kevin Hogan, who can actually move a little bit in the pocket and get some yards on the ground. Are there any of these wide receivers you're willing to go to, Arthur?
Nope. but I do like David Njoku. I mean, two of his three touchdowns and all of his biggest plays, there haven't been many of them. He only has 12 catches, but he's been very efficient. He's clearly been even more efficient and a more dangerous tight end with Hogan throwing to him. So Texans have let up a lot of yards, only one touchdown versus tight ends, but they are ceding a bunch of yards. So, I mean, I think he should be outside of Duke Johnson. Probably he should be Hogan's favorite target. We'll see if that happens.
Are you not buying into the 17 target for Ricardo Lewis the last 2 weeks?
Not especially, although, you know, Houston's corners are banged up. I think Kevin Johnson's going to miss another game. So I guess if you're going to go there, I don't really know enough about these Browns receivers to talk like I do, though. So I'm just going to pass, I guess.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. New England at the Jets, 47.5 is the over-under. New England favored by 9 on the road. Obviously, we're starting Brady unless we have Deshaun Watson. Arthur, this seems like a wheels up type of game for New England. But I got a running back question for you on New England. Is this more of a Gillislee week or a James White week, do you think?
Yeah, you know, Gillislee's been very steady. He's got 12 rushes in 3 consecutive weeks. He just hasn't been finding the end zone, and obviously he's so dependent on that. So I expect New England to jump out, though, which would favor Gillislee over White. I guess what can potentially throw a wrench into things is Rex Burkhead's expected to come back after missing the past 3 games. So I don't think you could recommend throwing him right in there. We do have to point out that Gillislee has not been, as I mentioned, he hasn't been overly effective. He's just getting kind of a steady workload. I mean, I'll throw it to you guys. No one can really predict what Belichick's going to do in his backfield, but do you think he might look for a spark with someone like Burkhead if he's active?
Yeah, I think he's looking for anyone that isn't Mike Gillislee. Deion Lewis got 9 touches last week. When you throw that in and you got James White and with Rex Burkhead coming back, I wouldn't be comfortable throwing Gillislee back into the lineup here, even if I do expect them to lead. And I don't think this is going to be as high scoring as people expect. I don't think Tom Brady is healthy. And this, you know, we've seen in the past that when the Patriots go on the road to face the Jets, this game tends to be kind of sloppy and low scoring.
It gets weird.
Yeah.
It just gets weird.
So guys, so rest of season, who is the Patriots back to own?
No one.
You think so? It's just so muddled and they kind of offset each other.
I mean, I don't want anything. If I had to take anyone in a PPR league, I'd take James White.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I think it depends on your league. PPR White, not PPR. I Burkhead maybe.
Yeah. Wow.
There's no clarity.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Miami at Atlanta, 46 is the over-under. Atlanta favored by 12.5 at home. Kyle, obviously you're starting Julio if you've got him, and we've sort of speculated, at least on the DFS podcast, that the eruption week for Julio is coming, and this might be it against one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Anybody else on Atlanta that you have high interest in? Devonta Freeman, obviously, if you've got him, you're starting him. But what about a guy like Taylor Gabriel or Austin Hooper, Tevin Coleman? Do you think Ryan maybe spreads it around here?
Well, I'm calling it right now. Julio Jones is just going off this week. This is the 10 reception, 150 yard game. It's coming this week. Go ahead and just go ahead and start patting yourself on the back if you own Julio Jones, because you're going to be happy this week. Outside of that, Taylor Gabriel see a little more action with Sanu out, but I don't expect them to use him a lot. He's still kind of a gadget play. I think it's going to be Austin Hooper week. Miami's not great defending the tight ends. I think he stands to see the biggest bump with Sanu out again. Anyone else you see, Arthur?
Not really, no. I mean, I think if anything was, if we learned anything in that game against Buffalo when both Julio and Mohamed Sanu went down, it's that there isn't the type of weaponry that you need in this receiving core. So it was, you're right, Austin Hooper had 550 receiving, his best game of the season. I guess because they have kind of the same body type and can play sort of the same role, I tend to agree with you on that. But Taylor Gabriel, like you said, is too gadgety for me, under 36 yards and without a touchdown in 3 of 4 games so far. So to me, that's a pretty big risk you'd be throwing out there. What about on the Dolphins, guys? Can this offense get right? Can they do it without Devontae Parker? Is there any hope for Adam Gase and company moving forward?
Not really. No. I mean, I'm pretty happy to have Jarvis Landry this week just because I think he's going to get peppered with targets. But I don't think there's much upside for anyone in this offense right now. Jay Ajayi's being killed by an awful offensive line. I don't see much there.
I made this joke in the Pro Football Weekly podcast, but we may have not total carryover as far as listeners go. So do you guys have any jokes you want to drop as far as Chris Forster is concerned? Could there be a snowball effect from what happened with him? Or can this Dolphin season go maybe even further off the rails from here? Sorry, guys. Had to do it.
So, hey, and really quick, guys, so we kind of glossed over the Jets. And since we're talking about tight ends, you know, kind of streaming tight ends, going back to the Jets, Austin Seferian Jenkins, I think, is a guy that you can go in and plug into your lineups against the Patriots, who are giving up a lot of points to tight ends.
Good call. All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Detroit at New Orleans. 50 is the over-under. New Orleans favored by 4.5 at home. Arthur, I want to talk to you about the New Orleans backfield. Kamara versus Ingram with the trade of Adrian Peterson. How do you see this Saints backfield shaking out with Peterson gone?
Yeah, I don't think I did as good a job articulating it as I needed to in my little intro for the running back rankings this week. But what I was trying to get across in there is that I think everyone's focused on Alvin Kamara here because he's, you know, Mark Ingram was always the number one, and it was Kamara who was kind of eating into Peterson's looks. But I'm feeling like this may actually, and there's no doubt that Kamara is going to get some benefit from this. But I think Mark Ingram, people might have written him off early here, and I think things could really pick up for him. He's been fairly steady in terms of usage, and that should only increase. So, and now I feel like there's going to be more defined roles. You're going to have your very clear early down guy in Ingram, of course, without Peterson sort of infringing on that, and then Kamara can settle into the changeup role. It's probably going to benefit both of them, but I guess more than anything, I'm just a little higher on the entire Saints backfield than I was 48 hours ago. Kyle, you were ripping me on Twitter, so tell me why I'm wrong on this one.
Well, no, I'm not. I actually think they're both very, very viable starters in season-long football. It's more DFS because I feel like one way or the other, I'm going to end up hating you for trying to play one of the Saints running backs. So that's not what I was saying. I actually think this is a spot where both of them give you a pretty solid floor because the Detroit secondary is looking pretty good. Darius Slay is going to shadow Michael Thomas, and he's going to shut him down, I think. And Quandre Diggs is coming on. I think this is a game where Ingram and Kamara could both be pretty useful in the passing game, and that if you're particularly in PPR leagues, I think you should feel pretty confident with either one of them putting it in your starting lineup this week.
Yeah, interestingly, Ingram has stayed busy as a receiver, actually, too. Five targets, averaging a little more than five targets through the first 4 weeks. He's got 15 catches already, so he has been able to kind of build on that part of his breakthrough season in 2016. So, yeah, I think the arrow points up, for the New Orleans offense even more than usual. Unfortunately for Lions fans, it really looks like things are heading the other way. Couldn't protect Matt Stafford. He's hobbled now, and there's just no one you can count on, I don't think, on a weekly basis, even though, yes, I did try and sell Amir Abdullah a couple weeks ago as my bold prediction. There's just no one here from on a week-to-week basis, right? Right, Kyle? Right, John?
Tate, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Tate, particularly in this matchup. I will admit that when I saw Zach Zenner get the goal line touchdown, I just smiled when I was thinking of you.
pretty brutal. Yeah, I mean, Tate gets a lot of looks, but he hasn't had any. He's averaging just over 9 yards a catch. He's only got one touchdown, so there's just not a lot of excitement with this Lions offense at all right now.
You know, this might be the Theo Riddick week. I think Detroit's going to fall behind in this game, and we've seen them go to Riddick when they're behind before.
Right.
Yep, I like it. All right, guys, move on to the next one. Green Bay at Minnesota, 46.5 is the over under. Green Bay favored by 3. Guys, is Case Keenum a viable streamer against this Packers secondary? Kyle, I'll go to you on that.
We've seen him have the sporadic big games. I'm not trusting Case Keenum, partially because I don't think Stephon Diggs is very healthy, and we've seen that he struggles, and he admitted this week or in the offseason, I can't remember what it was, I just remember seeing about it, that he doesn't play well when he's dealing with injuries. He did not look like he was 100%, even though he came back in the game last week with that groin injury. No, I don't want to touch Case Keenum, Arthur.
I don't think so either. I mean, you could probably do worse. I know there's a couple good quarterbacks on bye this week in Dak and Russell Wilson, but 3 of his 4 touchdowns came in that game against the Bucs. He's not throwing for a ton of yards, and if nothing else, I think that the fact that Minnesota was able to maintain its run game without Dalvin Cook the first time out, of course, with Jerick McKinnon, it maybe kind of, you know, it keeps Keenum's floor a little bit lower than you would like. And as much as we like to rip on the Packers secondary, it actually played very, very well after Dak's hot start last week. It was weird. As soon as it started losing guys, Morgan Burnett goes down, Devon Haas is in and out, and you saw some guys step up. So we'll see if they're able to kind of do that for a second week in a row.
You know, I actually kind of think that the Green Bay defense is sneaky here. This game might be lower scoring than people think, particularly if Diggs is out.
Yeah, maybe. I want to ask you guys about the running backs here on both sides. It looks like Jerick McKinnon is the lead guy in Minnesota, and Aaron Jones, I mean, he surprised the heck out of me. He had an amazing game against the Cowboys. Are both of these guys viable, not only in this game, but going forward?
Arthur, I'll let you go first on this one.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, McCarthy's already said that Jones has earned more opportunities, and Ty Montgomery was not even averaging 4 yards a carry. Just he was getting a lot of work, but you hadn't seen a lot of efficiency or big plays from him. So there's no question to me that Jones's insertion into the starting lineup kind of unlocked Green Bay's offense as if it really needed unlocking. But McKinnon, I was so excited about what I saw, but I think we need to keep in mind a lot of it came on a 58-yard touchdown where he was barely touched. And they still gave Latavius Murray, I think, $3 or $4 million. So they're not just going to want to flush that money, I don't believe. But encouraging, at least, that McKinnon, after failing so spectacularly last year once Adrian Peterson went down, again, that they've been able to sustain some things there. Kyle, how do you see that?
Well, yeah, let's start there. First off, thank you to the Minnesota Vikings for not putting Latavius Murray in the lineup very much. I mean, I think he ended up with 22 snaps in that game. That's more than Latavius Murray even needs. He's bad at football. Stop playing him. And Jerick McKinnon, I think, is just showing an ability to make plays. I don't think he's the flashiest guy around, but he catches the ball. I think that he does enough for the Minnesota offense that you don't need to play Murray unless you really need to. And on the other side of the ball, I think you're going to see a situation develop here where Aaron Jones is the guy out there on first and second down, and Montgomery's out there when either on third down or when they're trailing. So I think it's probably going to have weeks where you're frustrated with those guys.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next game. Bears at Baltimore. 39.5 is the over under. Baltimore favored by 6.5 at home. Guys, Mitchell Trubisky gave Bears fans some hope, but he's not fantasy viable yet. As much fun as we had with a 2-point conversion and a couple of those throws this week, right?
Do we have to talk about this game?
We can move on.
No, I'm joking. It's Mitchell Trubisky. He showed some positive things, but there's just no talent around him right now. There's just no reason to play him. I don't see a reason to play him this year. It's not going to get any better. I mean, he might get better, but I don't think the situation around him is going to get any better. Arthur, do you see any reason to stash him?
No, I'm not, unless you're in a super flex league, unless he's going to find a way to start being the first quarterback that throws to himself and, you know, carries the run game that Dowell Loggins won't trust enough and consistently enough. So, yeah, I'm not seeing it at all. But the Ravens aren't exciting, but didn't they show you a little something out in Oakland? That's a bad Raiders defense, but still, backs against the wall, Flacco hooking up with Mike Wallace a little bit. Mike Wallace, he's going to be a WR3 at the very least when it's all said and done this year, isn't he?
I don't want anything to do with this Ravens offense ever, but
Do you think we'll see any clarity between Allen and Alex Collins, or is that just going to be another stay away?
Long as Terrence West is banged up, I think Buck Allen is a guy that needs to be on a roster.
Yeah, I think so too, because Alex Collins can't handle or hold on to the ball. But I'm not very high on Buck Allen. I think once Terrence West gets back, that you're going to see a pretty equal timeshare there.
What about Tariq Cohen? Is the Tariq Cohen, was the fun, just is it going to turn out to be a flash in the pan? Do you think he'll learn he's got to get north and south more often to where he can be a salvageable fantasy asset, or are we all off of Tariq Cohen at this point as well?
The Bears insist on playing Benny Cunningham. So yeah. as long as he's still there, Cohen, you've seen Cohen's usage just slip every week since Cunningham came back.
Yeah, I don't see any reason that Tariq Cohen is fantasy viable. I think eventually the Bears are going to realize that, yeah, he's got a place in this offense, but he's not someone that you want to feature.
Sure.
And I don't see his usage going up.
All right, guys, let's move on to the final noon game here, final early game here. San Francisco, Washington, 46.5 is the over-under. Washington favored by 11 at home. Guys, I think you could play every Washington player in this game and feel at least somewhat decent about it, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. We haven't seen anything from the rookie Samaj Perini to where we should feel decent, except for the workload that he's getting and the workload that he's essentially been promised once again this week with Rob Kelly not having enough time during the bye, apparently, to heal that broken rib. So I keep waiting for Perini to flash because I think there's an opportunity there to take over that backfield altogether, but I just don't know if he'll do it. It is encouraging to hear Jay Gruden say that Jamison Crowder needs to be more involved when he wasn't. An alligator arming it over the middle. There were encouraging signs from Terrell Pryor as well before the bye. And I think Kirk Cousins has absolutely, he's been playing lights out the past few weeks. So I'd feel real good if I owned him.
Yeah, I don't feel very good about the running back situation there. Obviously, Chris Thompson, whenever the game script says that Washington's going to be trailing, Chris Thompson, the guy that you want to get into a lineup. I do not like Perrine. You've got 2 weeks of, let me see here, let me pull it back up. 2 weeks where he had 19 and 21 carries and he failed he barely got over 100 total yards there. I don't see it getting a lot better for him, even against the Niners defense here. And I do like the Washington offense. I like the tools that they have at wideout. The problem is just predicting which one's going to get the work. John, do you have any idea?
I think this week it's Pryor, just because the Niners tend to struggle more with boundary receivers than they do on the inside. But, you know, Pryor has not exactly been fed targets. So I think that's the guy I feel most confident in, but it's not a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I think they're going to force targets his way because in the long term, they're going to need someone to step up as the number one. I think he has the best chance. You saw the big playability in their last game, although he also had another terrible drop. Arthur, is he going to be what we thought he was before the season?
Well, I mean, I thought he was going to be a real sneaky, solid WR1 before the season. So at this point, I'd say no to that. But, again, he found the end zone for the first time on explosive play, 44-yard touchdown. And they went back to him, Kirk did, a couple times, I think, after that really bad drop over the middle. And I just don't know if there's a lot of other big play weapons. Jamison Crowder's never really been that. Josh Doxson, the last we saw of him, he's dropping a would-be game-winning touchdown. So, I think just given what they invested in him and given what else is there, you got to keep rolling Pryor out, as tough as it may be. What about Jordan Reed? I mean, the only thing that can't get him hurt is a bye week. So I didn't go back and look at his numbers coming off the bye like I did for Julio Jones, but this has to be the week to feel as good as you will about Jordan Reed, right?
San Francisco, one of the best DVOA teams against tight ends. That makes me a little bit nervous, along with Reed's, can go out at any time.
Yeah,
because of the injury.
I'm kind of tempered in my expectation for him coming off the injury. And yeah, John's right. The defense the San Francisco defense has actually been really good against tight ends. On the other side of the ball, is there anything you like, Arthur? I kind of like the wide receivers for the Niners this week. I think they're going to be trailing. Josh Norman's going to be out. I think Garcon and Marquise Goodwin could have pretty solid weeks.
Yeah, I think so, too. Forget the whole revenge game narrative with Garcon. And as you said, just reiterate, Josh Norman's going to be out. They've got questions elsewhere. And I actually went and picked up Marquise Goodwin in 1 week where I'm really starved at wide receiver. He had 11 targets last week, his first 100-yard game. Best game as a pro, if not as a 49er. So that's encouraging. What about in the backfield, guys? It looks like we've got the dreaded timeshare developing here with undrafted rookie Matt Breida pushing Carlos Hyde to the sideline after halftime last week.
Wasn't it just 2 weeks ago we were talking about how good Carlos Hyde looked and how we were surprised with the way they had kind of warmed back up to him?
I think so. He had a bunch of carries against the Rams, and it wasn't super efficient, but he had a couple touchdowns, and he was a little bit better against Arizona, and then just fell off the map last week, almost had a fumble. He let up a sack and pass protection, so you thought maybe it was a health thing, because he was dealing with the hip, but then Shanahan kind of shot that down, and Breida looked pretty solid. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but it looks like his bell cow role is all but a thing of the past at this point.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next one. Rams at Jacksonville, 42.5 is the over-under. Jacksonville favored by 2.5 on the road. Arthur, there's no way the Rams are going to be as dumb as the Steelers last week and avoid running the ball when they've got Todd Gurley, their best offensive option, right? Against a Jacksonville defense that is so good against the pass and so inefficient against the run.
No, yeah, I think it's a fairly safe bet that Gurley is going to be super busy in this one, and that's encouraging because he only had 14 carries last week and obviously had the bad fumble. It was his worst game under Sean McVay. So, yeah, I would look for a bounce back here. But just overall, this, what a tough road trip. The first time that McVay's team goes cross-country is going to be one kind of element. Obviously, Jacksonville riding so high after what they did to Pittsburgh. So I think I've got Gurley as my RB3, RB4. Obviously, you're going to have him in there, but I don't know. I'm really, really starting to believe in this Jaguars defense, and I think it's better versus the run. I think that those numbers are only skewed because they've been so dominant versus the pass, and teams are having more success on the ground, but I actually think this is looking like a complete defense. What about you, Kyle?
Well, first off, Sean McVay can't be dumb enough to do it 2 weeks in a row. I cannot believe we were talking about this in the DFS podcast. One, the fact that Tavon Austin got as many touches as he did. And two, there was at one point in the second half of that game where the Rams had first down inside the 15-yard line, Seattle's 15-yard line, and had a 5-wide set. That's just not going to happen 2 weeks in a row. Their best chance to win this game is Todd Gurley. I am a little bit worried by the fact that I think that we jumped too much, or people overestimated how good the Rams passing game was against some weak opponents that first month. And with as good as Jacksonville is in the secondary, I feel like that they're going to be able to stack the box against Todd Gurley and dare Jared Goff to try and beat him through the air. John, do you see that being a problem?
Yeah, I do see that being a problem. It makes the favorite play out of this game, obviously, on the Jacksonville side, Leonard Fournette. The Jaguars clearly don't care about usage, because he is just going to get the ball as many times as he can handle it, and you can certainly run on the Rams. I think Fournette has the potential to be one of the top running backs on the board this week.
Yeah, at some point the touchdowns have to stop. I mean, you would think so. I hope not, because I have him in the Blog Talk Radio League, but he is putting him in at a good clip. I didn't go back and look at the box score, actually, from the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game. I just laughed at the Ben Roethlisberger interception and kind of moved along. Did Fournette break a long touchdown in that game?
A 90-yarder.
Yeah, No, I was going to say that helped the box score.
Yeah, no doubt. 181 yards, easily his career high, and he now has 5 touchdowns. I think he's got a touchdown in each game because he caught one as a receiver 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, super encouraging for Fournette, and just credit the Jaguars. To be able to hide a quarterback the way they hid Blake Bortles in the second half last week in the year 2017, I think that's something.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next game. Tampa Bay to Arizona, 45 is the over-under. Tampa Bay favored by 1.5 on the road. Guys, nobody's playing Adrian Peterson this week, right?
No.
Right, I would say that there could be some interest in Andre Ellington still.
In a PPR league? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what about the Tampa Bay offense? Arthur, tell me about the Tampa Bay offense here. Mike Evans is going to get matched up against Patrick Peterson, obviously, so one of my favorite wide receivers of the game. This feels like another D-Jax week.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I have a bad feeling for whatever reason about the Bucs offense this week. I mean, Jameis Winston was a disaster last year in week two in Arizona with 5 turnovers. And actually, Mike Evans salvaged his day against Patrick Peterson last year, had a touchdown at about 70 receiving yards. But I just don't trust Jameis Winston. I don't know. I thought that the upset was there for him last Thursday night. The defense played great. And he just, I don't know. He didn't make enough plays until it was too late. And I just don't feel really that much better about him this week. But I do like Doug Martin because I just was so excited about his debut. And Arizona, you know, despite being a good run defense, had its issues out in Philadelphia. That was pretty much a no-show for them last week. So I don't know. Someone talk me into the Bucs. I want to believe in them. I know they're favorites. I know it's a good spot. But I have a weird feeling about this one.
Well, I Jameis Winston absolutely just stunk up the joint last week. I think. See, here's the hard thing. Tampa wants to hide Winston, I feel like, at this point, at least until they can get him back to where they want. And Doug Martin looked really, really good coming back. The problem is Arizona's run defense is also really good. So, I kind of am with you. I think, you know, DeSean Jackson and Cameron Brate are plays. But this could be a game where... Man, but the problem is I really dislike Arizona. I know I'm kind of alone in this one, but
no.
I know. Talking with John Steiff in our take two about Bruce Arians, and I hate this Cardinals team. I don't think it's very good. Someone tell me I'm wrong because everyone else is.
John Steiff tried to tell you you were wrong in the take two, but I'm glad you weren't having it because I'm with you. I think Arians is in trouble. I think this thing is going down in flames, frankly, which is disappointing to see because I personally like some of the players, obviously Larry Fitzgerald, so much. But, it doesn't look pretty. John, what do you think? It's hard to figure out, too, whether it's going to be Jerron Brown, John Brown, J.J. Nelson. It gives me a headache even thinking about it.
If John Brown's healthy, I think it's him. If Brown is not healthy, then I think it's Jerron. It's Larry Fitzgerald. It's Larry Fitzgerald.
No, it's never Larry Fitzgerald. Stop it.
It is this week. Let's move on to the next one. Pittsburgh and Kansas City, 47 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 4 at home. Guys, one note as we're taping this on Thursday afternoon, Tyreek Hill did get added to the injury report today with a hamstring issue. So just a little bit of caution there. Pittsburgh has got to give Le'Veon Bell the ball on the ground this week, right, guys? Right?
You would think so. Two weeks removed from 39 carries and an old school Le'Veon Bell performance, and just forgot about him last week. It was more than a little curious. So yeah, I mean, I would like to think they're going to get back to it. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a good sneaky play this week because he's going to get the troubles that that Kansas City has in the nickel with Philip Gaines and whoever else is being asked to replace Steven Nelson. So yeah, I think it could be good for Juju and good for Le'Veon, obviously good for Antonio Brown. What are you guys doing if you have Martavis Bryant at this point? You got to hold because he's such a talent, or are we about is our patience running thin there?
I think he's continuing to fall down the depth chart. I've heard talk out of there that Eli Rogers might be getting more run than him.
Jeez.
Pittsburgh, I don't think they're a team that's going to fall off the map. I think they're too talented. There are some concerning signs there, though, with the way Ben is playing and his admission this week that he just kind of doesn't feel like he has it right now. The fact that their run defense has been absolutely atrocious over the last few weeks. You have Antonio Brown kind of complaining about his workload. And I worry that you're going to have, if you're having games where you have a clear, you should have a clear game plan. Le'Veon Bell should have had the ball a lot last week. It wasn't like that game was out of hand where they had to go to the passing game. For some insane reason, they just wanted to continue to go out spread. And I worry that those are the type of things that start to mess with the locker room. In a game here where they're going across a road game to play at a very tough place in Arrowhead against a very good Kansas City team, I actually think this game might get kind of ugly.
It's unbelievable to think about. I don't disagree with you. If we had said 6-8 weeks ago that we were worried Ben Roethlisberger's Steelers wouldn't be able to keep up with Alex Smith's Chiefs, it's just crazy to think about. But it's hard not to agree. The Chiefs are just on fire right now. But actually, John said something that does concern me a little bit. I'm sorry. One of the fastest players in the league. Yeah. Exactly. What would that mean? Because remember, Conley goes down for the season last week with the ruptured Achilles. Kelce, I guess, is going to be on the field, even though he had that scary concussion last week. But Tyreek's been a little up and down already. Could that be sort of the kryptonite maybe for this Chiefs offense?
No.
It makes me like Kareem Hunt even
yes,
more.
Yes, I think Kareem Hunt's going to be the top running back of the week.
Okay, good. I've got him ranked as my number one, so I feel good about it.
Yeah,
we're all on the same page on something, guys. That doesn't happen too often. All right, guys, let's move on to the final afternoon game. Chargers against Oakland. This game is actually does not have a line right now or an over-under. The Derek Carr situation is obviously part of that, along with the fires in California, the air quality. I don't know if you guys saw the picture today from Raiders practice, but Michael Crabtree was wearing a mask, and it wasn't because of any other reason other than air quality. So that could be a little bit scary, and we don't really know what might happen in this game or with this game or even where this game will be played. I saw somebody, I think on Twitter, somebody sort of half sarcastically, but half not. There's an available stadium in San Diego to play this game, which would be something. Yeah. But from a fantasy perspective, guys, Arthur, I think that we shouldn't be afraid to fire up any of our Chargers in this game. And obviously, if you got Keenan Allen, you're starting them. But even a guy like Tyrell Williams, Hunter Henry, this seems like an ideal spot for them, or at least a bounce back spot for them.
Yeah, I think so too. The usual suspects, certainly you're rolling with. I believe it was it was a really disappointing week in what you thought would be a good spot for Tyrell Williams in New York. Just one catch, 22 yards. No one really went off, actually, except for Melvin Gordon, I don't think, and Phillip Rivers had a nice day. But yeah, I think this is the week when you get all Chargers on deck, with the exception of one. You of course have to wait and see, I think, about Mike Williams, the 7th overall pick, making his NFL debut after being sidelined with the back injury. Kyle, do you envision a scenario where Mike Williams could become usable this season? Are you intrigued to see what he does out there against this burnable Oakland defense?
Yeah, I really don't know how much run he's going to get. I think they're going to ease him in over the next few weeks. They're deep enough at wide receiver and tight end that they don't need to throw him into the fire.
Absolutely.
Everyone else, I love the Chargers offense this week. I think even if Derek Carr is back, that the Chargers are going to roll in this game. I don't think they were as bad as they looked the first few weeks of the season. I mean, they had some very Charger-esque losses. I think everyone is usable on the Chargers offense. Is there anyone usable on the Oakland side? Here you go, Arthur. Here's a good question we had in DFS. Is Amari Cooper going to get it back together?
All right, well, here's my – can I just make my bold prediction of the week now?
Go ahead.
John? All right, good. Well, we all know I've been grasping at straws. I said Thomas Rawls would be not only usable, but I believe an RB1 last week. So let me, A, apologize for that, and then, B, double down on my stupidity. This is the week that Amari Cooper not only gets it back, but turns in a top-end WR1 performance. I think that Derek Carr's return, he is the leader of that team, and I don't think Jack Del Rio is a very good coach or a good leader of men. So I think they need Derek Carr to get back and galvanize this club, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but we did see Casey Hayward get beat for a touchdown last week, and I think Amari turns it on just as owners are about out of patience this week with a big time performance.
Wow, that's bold. I think we're a week away on Cooper, to be honest with you.
I think we're.
I like Marshawn too. Sorry,
hey, Marshawn's not a bad pick.
Yeah.
Yep. Chargers run D is garbage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the big week for Amari Cooper is going to happen. He's just too talented not to. Yeah, that, I mean, that's definitely a bold call at this point, though.
All right, guys, let's move on to the...
I guess to try and have some success, so that's what I'm doing.
All right, guys, move on to the Sunday night game. This one should be quick. Giants at Denver, 39 is the over-under. Denver favored by 11.5. I'm looking at one place where Denver is actually favored by 13 at this point. So I think you feel pretty comfortable with anybody on Denver's side and on the Giants' side. No, thank you. Anybody want to disagree with that?
No, I mean,
no, not a chance. Two words: poor Eli.
I will quickly with the game. I will say that I think AJ Derby is an interesting choice if you're streaming tight ends. The Giants have been absolutely bleeding points to them, and AJ Derby had a pretty good game last week. I think he's going to be involved again this week.
Yeah, I like it. All right, guys, let's move on to the Monday night game in Indianapolis at Tennessee. Kyle, anybody you really like in this one?
I mean, the Tennessee defense is bad, so obviously you're going to play T.Y. Hilton if you have him. Do you guys feel, let's say, Arthur, do you feel confident throwing Dante Moncrief out there?
No, not yet. I can't remember if it was a week or two ago that we talked about this, and there have been some small flashes. Had the touchdown 2 weeks ago, and he's just, it's three targets in three consecutive weeks, so he's kind of a boom or bust play at this point. And I think at this point you're probably going to continue to wait it out until Luck gets back. It's at least encouraging that Hilton's turned it on. I think the most interesting guy in this matchup is potentially Marlon Mack, obviously on the Indianapolis side. Frank Gore is indestructible, but even Chuck Pagano must see who his most explosive back is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. All the credit to Frank Gore for this career, but there's just not anything left in the tank. On the other side, I actually have DeMarco Murray, and I've put him on the bench because I just feel like I have a couple of other guys that I like. I have Fournette. I have Jerick McKinnon, who I picked up. Am I wrong for doing that?
Well, no. If you made the decision over the past 2 weeks, gosh, good call on that. I think I made the decision for the Seattle game, and of course, he had a 75-yard touchdown. So, kind of tells you how my season is going. But the only encouraging news on the DeMarco Murray / Derrick Henry front is it does look like as Murray gets healthier, he's getting back into that bell cow role. Henry was pretty much mothballed last week. So, but until we have certainty on Marcus Mariota, and obviously this being Monday night is kind of tricky. My recommendation is if you're a Marcus Mariota owner and you can't really afford to go out there and do something else, just go grab Jacoby Brissett, because that's not a bad fallback in the same matchup, right?
Absolutely not, but I'm going to quickly burst your bubble on the DeMarco Murray bell cow thing, because Mike Mularkey said after practice today that they want to get Derrick Henry more involved this week.
Whoa! All right, bubble burst. I just was looking at the snap counts. My goodness, this guys, you even really want me to stay on this podcast anymore? I'll just drop off. I'm glad to do that.
Oh, no. It's just that's where we're at with Tennessee running backs right now.
Yeah, I know. It's a sad state of affairs.
All right, well, we're going to end this with our bold calls. Arthur has already made his bold call for the week. Kyle, do you have a bold call this week?
Yeah, I'm going to say Keenan Allen is a top five receiver this week.
Okay. There's a lot of reason to like that, I think. I think Allen is definitely one of the better matchups on the board, like we talked about.
I like it. What do you have for us, Mr. Solly?
Man, I don't have much as far as being bold. I'm going to stay on brand here and say DeSean mm-hmm. Jackson is AWR1 this week.
All right, we'll take it.
I mean, you have been the president of the DeSean Jackson fan club, but I wouldn't expect anything else. I'm just happy you didn't go with Larry Fitzgerald.
You know, I thought about it. All right, guys, that'll do it for this week's PFW Fantasy Football season-long podcast. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, my name is John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.